And if you can stand, I want to read from Acts 2, verse 42, going through verse 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, we pray in this moment for your blessing. And Lord, we pray in this moment that our hearts and our minds are open to your Spirit, Lord. May your Spirit speak to us and work in us and create in us something new. Lord, we're mindful of all the hurting going on right now, those who are sick, those who are suffering. And Lord, we pray a blessing upon them. We pray comfort upon families who have lost loved ones. And Lord, we ask now that you just be with us. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So what are we going to do with 2021? Anybody have any thoughts? You know, what are we going to do with 2021? Where are we going to go in 2021? Well, it's my hope, and as you see with the text that we have read, it is my hope and my prayer that wherever we go and whatever 2021 has for us, that we do it together. Because I think together, this idea of being together is a powerful idea when we think about it. I mean, together has more power than anything else that we can possibly imagine. Because here's the thing. You and I were not created to be by ourselves. I think it's what's made 2020 so difficult. And we begin to realize that as the months went on. You know, the first month, it's like, I can do this. Even as someone like myself, who's an introvert, I'm like, oh man, this is great. I can just be away from people. But as it starts going further and further down the line, it starts wearing on you a little bit. We start missing being together because we were not created to be by ourselves. We were not created to go it alone and go through this world being on an island. You don't have to go through life. You don't have to go through the last year. You don't even have to go through the new year by yourself. And as we begin to hopefully see a light at the end of the tunnel, which I think we're beginning to see, as we begin to see that hope that's beginning to glimmer in the dreariness, I look forward to the day when we can all be together again. But I also want to speak to this togetherness over the next few weeks, the importance of it as we start looking forward to it. And so we're going to start today in Acts 2, but beginning next week and for I'm not sure how many weeks, we're going to go through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're just going to go through a study of 1 Corinthians. Because I think the study of 1 Corinthians is Paul teaching the Corinth church the strength of being together, the strength of needing one another. Because as Paul saw and as Luke shows us, there is power, there is hope, there is joy in being together. And so as we start the new year, I want to read a poem to you. I want to read this poem that has kind of been, I've found, and it's kind of just been saturating in me and working in me and marinating in me. And it's a poem by Mary Oliver. And this is the poem. It's called Don't Hesitate. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is the way of fighting back, that sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. And if you have a Russell Bingo card for 2021, then you can fill this spot in already because this is what Bob Dylan says. He not busy he not busy being born is busy dying. Bob Dylan said that in his song, It's All Right, Ma. And I believe, as I read this poem and I read Dylan and we read Acts, I believe that all of this, that 2021 is going to be a season of rebirth. I really, truly believe that. That we have, over the last year, found ourselves more divided, more secluded, and more fearful than any time I can remember. I mean, I'm 42, and this is, in 42 years of life, this is the first year I really remember this kind. Some of you may say, well, you don't remember this, this, and this, but this is heavy for me. And whether the way that we're feeling is from a virus or politics or just a general melancholy feel that I think everyone has, we have just not been getting along very well. Can we just be honest here? We have not been getting along. We have done less building. We have done more tearing down. But like the poem of Mary Oliver and the lyrics of Dylan and the passage that we read in Acts 2, there is a power, there is a force that moves through life. It's a power that can break through all the power that is at work in the world that divides us. It's the type of power that can bring us together, and as it brings us together, it shakes us from all of our other things that have been going on. It's a force so powerful that it can cause others, when they witness it, to want to be involved as well. And I'm sure you noticed that. It's different because instead of pulling us away, do you notice what it does? It pulls us toward one another. And here's the thing. We never know we need it. We never know we need each other until we encounter it. Have you noticed that? We think we can do it pretty good by ourselves until we encounter this force and realize how much we need it. We don't even realize everything that we've been doing and saying up until now until we encounter this force. And when we encounter this force, we realize that everything we've been doing up until now has been leading us more towards a path of death than a path of life. Because here's the thing. The world is really good about making us think that we have to do it on our own. The world is really good making us think if we just pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, then we'll get it taken care of. Then we can do it ourselves. The only problem is we trip over those bootstraps a lot of the time. The world is really good about putting blinders on our eyes and having us miss on the periphery those glimmers of hope that are happening around us because we get so focused on me and my and what I can get until you encounter this force that we see in Acts 2, this thing called the Holy Spirit. And if you notice anything, and if you know anything about the Holy Spirit, then you know this. It's going to grab your heart, and it's not going to play fair. It's going to grab your heart, and it's not going to play fair. The Spirit of God pulls on your life, and it pulls us instead of away towards. And all of a sudden, things that you haven't seen, you now see differently. All the things that you once held dear to you, those things that you put your identity into, because that's how the world said you are defined, what we notice is as you encounter the Holy Spirit, you get caught up in what one writer called the holy vortex. And what begins to happen as we begin to see in this is in verse 44 and 45, what begins to happen is they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And this vortex has a way of separating us from those things in which the world says our identity is held into and says your identity is in something else. The scene that Luke paints when we read Acts 2 is extraordinary. But even as we imagine all of this taking place among the people of Jerusalem, this new thing happening, the visual, get this in your head, the visual of so many together, giving, singing, fellowship, breaking bread. Think about what kind of energy that was. And they did it every day. Reading this picture of Luke gives us the concrete vision of what Paul will write just a little while later to the territory of Galatia. You remember what Paul wrote, right? In Galatians 3:28. I always want to look here, but it's not here. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there's male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. What Luke paints for us is the exact thing that Paul writes later and says, this is what this force that is impinging upon you does to you, does to a group of people. It is a force that has the power to draw so many from so many different aspects of life toward a common sinner. We see that in chapter 2, verse 42, as it tells us about the common life. And while I may call it common life, what do we know? What do we notice in the text? This common life attracts more and more and more people. Why? Because I think there's something inside of all of us that realizes we need each other. And I don't want you to miss this as we read this, because what is being drawn to the sinner is not stuff. The story that we read in Acts 2 is not about stuff. It's not that God needs stuff or is even impressed with your stuff. No, it is people that are being drawn in. Do you notice? It is people that are being drawn into the sinner. It is people who are finding their purpose and their value apart from the stuff. We see it throughout the passage, the words and images of people being drawn together more and more, lives coming together, not for themselves, but for the person sitting next to them. People looking out for others without anything getting in the way. They weren't worried about the person and where they came from. They weren't worried about the status of the person. They weren't worried about who the person voted for this fall. They weren't worried about where they came from. They didn't worry about their bank accounts. None of that. It's people coming together and trying to figure out how they can help the other person without limits, without little things that we put on them and say, well, I guess I have to, but I don't really want to help this person because this person did this last week, and you know Bob over there, and I'm really glad we don't have any Bobs over here. You know Bob over there, and what Bob says about things. None of that. When we read this, the power of the Holy Spirit on the lives of the people pulled them in, began to pull them into a common center to where they begin to see people as people. They begin to see people as children of God before a CEO of a company or a nurse or a teacher or a store clerk. None of that mattered. Not status, not gender, not possessions, not power. Whatever they had that could be used for the mission of God, so the mission of God could be pushed forward. That is what this community was about. A community where objects were given to God for the vision of the kingdom. And as I was reading this passage, it reminds me of this. It reminds me of, anybody ever ride at the fair the Gravitron? Anybody even know what I'm talking about? The Gravitron? Yeah, some of us might. If you were at the San Angelo stock show and rodeo, we always had a fair, and the Gravitron was there. The interesting thing about the Gravitron is, as I was looking it up online, the very first things it tells you is how you can assemble it and how you can disassemble it. So it takes you like 6 hours to assemble, which, by the way, automatically should scare all of us. And then it takes like 2.5 or 3 hours to disassemble, which should automatically scare all of us, because the whole idea of the Gravitron was to spin as fast as possible while you were standing up. And as it spinned, it used this theory of centripetal force, so it had a center. And so instead of you spinning around really fast and flying away, it spun so fast and the center kept you pulled in. But as centripetal force is being pulled on you, you're also a centrifugal force, which is pushing you out, which is why you need a wall that you find yourself being pinned to. And so you have these forces at work, a force that's pulling you in and keeping you in, and a force that's kind of pushing you out. All of this at the San Angelo Rodeo. Think about that. Yeah. Carnivals are dangerous, people. Just remember that. It's the same idea in theory they use when they take your blood, right? When you give vials of blood and they say, hey, we're going to do counts of it, they put it in these little things, centrifuges, and they spin it really fast. And what it does is as it spins really fast, it uses the centripetal forces and it begins to pull apart the different particles of your blood so that they can see a white blood cell count and a whole blood cell count, all this crazy stuff. But it's able to do that. And as we read this passage in Acts 2, we see the same kind of forces working on the lives of the people. What's going on here, though, is as they're being pulled into this center, the center of God, the Holy Spirit that's forced on them, what do we begin to notice? We begin to notice they're pulled into the center, but they're also being pushed out. More and more come to them daily, right? They're being pushed out, but as they're doing it and as they're being spinned around in this holy vortex, they begin to be separated. Their identities are beginning to be separated from those things in which the world says our identity is, in which the world says that our identity is held to. And so we notice that's what's going on here, that this is what this community is about, that this is what this community looks like. And this community has to look different than what is going on in the world today. Because here's the thing, what we're really good at is we're really good at packaging old stuff in new material. Right? And so if our community, if the community that we claim is being the center of it, is being the Holy Spirit and the love of God, that is the center and this mission of God. It's the Holy Spirit that's working on us and separating us from those things of the world. And it's pushing us out into the world to live differently. And yet, if people come in here and they don't see anything different, all they see is something packaged in a nice, neat, new material, they come in here and what they see is the comparison game still happening. We're still comparing ourselves to each other. They notice that there are still quarrels. They notice that we still divide ourselves based on how much money I have or status I have or power I have. They notice all of those different things. Then what is different than here and being on the outside world? It's just the world packaged in a different way. We put a cross on it and we talk about Jesus a little bit. If Jesus isn't doing something and being a force in our life, if the Spirit isn't impinging upon our community, bringing us closer together, having us notice one another, having us taking care of each other, having us realize that our stuff is not our identity but can be used to help others, can be used to bring others, can be used for the mission of God. If people don't see that, if what they see is what they always see, then why would they ever be attracted here? There was something about Acts 2 in this new community that Luke is painting us. It says, this is different than the Roman world. This is even different than the Jewish world. This is the world that God is creating. Because if we still live by the world's rules inside of here, if we still live by the world's rules in the community of God, then what we have is a community that is still antithetical to the Spirit of God. When a community begins to work this way, then how can it claim to be a community of God? If we're still working by the ways of the world, how can we claim anything different? Because I don't think people want that anymore. I don't think people are buying that anymore. I think it's why we even hear today people who get upset at the church or think, what's different about it and everything else? And then we read this passage in Acts 2, and we see it is different. We see we're called to be different. We see we're brought together to be different. And that's why I believe that we are in the season of rebirth. 2021 can be a season of rebirth, that when we read Acts 2 at the beginning of the year, we are reminded that something larger is at work in us. We may have forgotten that over the last year, because it's easy to have forgot that. I have at times. We have forgot that there's a larger thing at work, that the Spirit is pulling on us, that the Spirit is pulling us towards each other. The Spirit is working in us and towards each other to figure out how we can help our neighbor, how we can help the people in our own congregation, how we can help one another. I was reminded of this quote, and it's the task of the community. It's the task of us being together. And I was reminded of this quote from Howard Thurman, and he says this, the first task, and I like the word he used here, the first task is to get the self immunized against the most radical results of the threat of violence. When this is accomplished, relaxation takes the place of the churning fear. The individual now feels that he counts, that he belongs. He senses the confirmation of his roots, that even death becomes a little thing. That's what the community does. The community is a sort of self-immunization, as we're going to be talking about immunizations a lot this year. The church, the community, has a way of beginning to immunize other people who come in. It begins to immunize them. How? Because it begins to say that you are valuable, you are worthy, you are a child of God, no matter where you came from, no matter what you got, no matter who you are. Everybody in here is on a level playing field as being a child of God first. That's what makes this community so much different. There is no hierarchy. There is no, you got to jump through hoops. There's none of those things. And so as we think about this, if we think about this force at play in us, a community telling each other that you matter and I matter and everyone else around us matters, and not even that we just say it, but that we actually do it, that we actually put our words into action and become that community through everything that we do, that we don't hoard, but we give away, that we don't pull in, but that we open up, that we let the forces of God begin to pull apart our life, transforming us more into the image of God than the image of the world. What we realize is this is what people are looking for. People need this. People are tired of running the races. People are tired of having to play the comparison game, of having to climb up on top of other people in order to get what they need. And what Luke shows us is that we are, if we claim, a community of people who have a common life with one another, that our identity is in that thing that keeps pulling us here every week, that keeps pulling on us. And as it pulls on us, and as we come together, and as we sing, as we pray, as we break bread, as we're reminded of Jesus, and as we do that, and as each time we do that, we're separated a little bit more from our stuff, right? Our identity is separated a little bit more from us, so that when we're done, that same force propels us out into the community. And what do we act like? Not as people who are held on by the identity of our stuff, but as people who are held on by the thing that has separated us and given us value and said that we're important and said that we are loved and said that we matter. Therefore, when we go out, we can say the same thing to everybody we encounter. We can help and we can love and we can show mercy and we can show grace. And then we come back together and it pulls us in, and then it pushes us out again. And then we come back in, and it pushes us out again. But each time, as we see in that last verse, each time we do this, we've got our game right. We notice that it becomes something that attracts people to it. But we can't be the world packaged in nice, shiny new material. We have to be willing to be the kingdom of God. We have to be willing to let that force impinge on us and make us uncomfortable and let the Holy Spirit not play fair in our life and call us out when we need to be called out so that we can truly become the community. We can really begin to see what it means to be together and the power of being together. I think there's rebirth in this year. I do. I think Dylan's right. A lot of us probably have been dying for a little while. Well, it's time to start living. It's time to be busy living and get done with dying. And I think Mary Oliver's writing that poem. That's why I read it to you. It's just a little force, but it's always there pushing back against death, pushing back against that stuff and saying, you matter. There is life in this world. There is joy in this world. You can be all those things if you allow this force to pull apart those things that have been holding you back and let you be the person that God wants you to be. That is my prayer for 2021, for all of us in here. I hope you have a good, those who have stopped working, you get to go back to work tomorrow. Have fun. But I hope we have a good 2021. I look forward to the day as we talk about this when we're all together again. But as we move towards that, let us let the force of God on our life create in us and make us the disciples and the community that God intended us to be. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.